This is good to see you today. How many of you are awake this morning? How many of you have had your coffee already? Excellent. How many of you who don't drink coffee? Excellent. I was just talking to Levi, our bassist, and you know how we wear masks, and he's like, yeah, it's a wonderful thing, coffee breath in your mask. Now we know what everyone else experiences while we drink our coffee and then breathe on to other people. And for that, all of us coffee drinkers say in one loud voice, we're sorry. We just need it. Well, today is a special day. As I said, we have members of our Gilley Christian School staff, our early childhood center people here. And so we welcome you today. You're kind of in the midst of a series that we have going here at Gilead Friends, talking about This Is Our Community. We've been looking at a number of different things. And so we're going to kind of intersperse Gilead Christian School stuff in amongst the message. And then when we're all done, at least when I'm done speaking, I'm going to invite some of our worship team back up, and we're going to sing the verse and chorus of that blessing song. It's going to be kind of our blessing to you, staff and employers of Gilead Christian School. It's kind of a send-off to you. So we hope you do feel blessed by God this morning. The past couple weeks, we have looked at how we can view people in our community. And the first week that we began this series, we looked at how our communities could be starting in the small circle of our homes, where we live, and that community. And then it spreads out into our church community, where we attend and worship and respond to who God is. And it grows into our workplace. And we talked about how Gilley Christian School is one of those communities. It's our communities. It goes into your town. And then your county, the 16 townships of Morrow County. And we've seen how we are to view the people of our communities as entrusted to us by God. For whatever period of time that we are in our communities, those around us in our communities, look at them, view them as they have been entrusted to us by God. And how we relate to them, how we encourage them and show them the love of Christ. Last week, we read of ancient Israel being in exile in Babylon, and how, as exiles in a foreign land, they were actually called by God to pray for that foreign power. God says to pray pray for Babylon, pray for its peace, pray for its prosperity, because when Babylon has peace and prosperity, you, my children, will have peace and prosperity. He said, build your homes, grow your gardens, eat from it, have kids, marry your kids so that they can have kids. Increase and don't decrease, God called them. And we brought that into our communities here, that we are to pray for their peace and prosperity. We talked about how we are to pray for our teachers, for their peace, for their rest at night. We talked about how we are to pray for our doctors and our nurses and our healthcare physicians, our local officials, our mayor, our governor, our judges, how we are to pray for them, their peace and prosperity. Today we're going to look at words written by Paul to Christians that were living in the city of Rome. And it's timely that we have people from Gilead Christian School with us today as we talk about the body and how Paul uses the image of a human body to describe church community, church life, and we could even include the Christian school with us. So we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 5. If you have Bibles with you, you can follow along in your Bible, and if not, we have the passage hopefully on the screen behind me. So will you stand with me if you're able as we physically show honor to the Word of God by standing, and we're going to read these words from the Apostle Paul written to these young Christians in the city of Rome. And this is what he has to say beginning in verse 4. He says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Let's pray.
Almighty God, as we explore these verses from Paul, these words that Paul wrote to Christians and what it meant for them and how it impacted them and their lives and their communities there in the city, Father, would you bring about application for us here and now today in 2020? As we look at one another, our brothers and sisters in Christ as one body, many, many members of one body, one family in the Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. You may be seated. So Paul writes to these Christians. There's so many, and apparently there was discussion about are some parts of the church more important than others, and do some have better places at the dining room table? Who's going to sit at the head? And Paul tries to, repeatedly, if you look at different letters that Paul writes to different churches around the growing world in the ancient times, Paul repeatedly went back to this idea of one body, many members, just like the human body has many different things, hands and feet and internal organs and ligaments, but it all has one goal in mind. And so I wanted to use the illustration and the image of Gilead Christian School. Just as at the school, we have preschool teachers. We have pre-kindergarten teachers. We have kindergarten teachers through sixth grade. We have teachers in middle school and high school teaching different subjects. We have staff and aides supporting our students and their families. Many members of one body of the school with one goal in mind, to partner with parents to be and make active disciples of Jesus Christ. This, ladies and gentlemen, this is our community. When we look at Gilead Christian School specifically, this is our community entrusted to us to pray for their peace and their prosperity, as we looked at last week. Now, we could go from Gilead Christian School and we could expand that for a moment. And that could include Cardington, it could include Mount Gilead, Northmore, Highland, and in fact, all of Morrow County. As we look, we began the year looking at how are we going to reach the 16 townships. What does that look like? And it doesn't mean simply going and evangelizing with a bullhorn, but what does that look like to go and reach local establishments, being kind to them, showing them favor? Because whether we go to that restaurant all the time or we go to the post office, they are what make up part of our daily routine. When you think of all of the businesses, all of the shops, all of the homes, all of the people represented in those 16 townships, as a church, we should be praying for the local businesses that we frequent. Even those that we don't go to because they're a part of our community body. Whether we attend Gilead Christian School or have kids that go there or kids that go to Highland or Northmore or Mount Gilead, we should be praying for those teachers, the superintendents, the principals, the counselors. We should be praying for the students, whether we know them by name or not, and praying for their caregivers, their parents, their grandparents, those that they return home to. Paul repeatedly refers to the church as a body, and he uses the image of the human body to describe how the church functions, right? So if you were to pull out your anatomy books, you would see that the physical body has ligaments, it has parts, it has internal organs, and they all do drastically different things. When you talk to physicians and they could actually describe to you what certain body parts do, and if you're having a procedure or surgery done to remove your appendix or whatever, they tell you what these specific things do. They all have the same goal, which is to keep your body healthy. That is the goal of everything within you as a physical body. It's designed to keep you healthy. Some of you may disagree with that if you've ever woken up in the middle of the night and gone walking to get a glass of water in the kitchen and your pinky toe rebels against you and seeks out the corner of a couch or the hallway and it just rams itself into that corner and you think, oh, curse you, pinky toe.
But it's not, right? And when you're growing up as a middle schooler in your early teens, you may think your body's rebelling against you because all of a sudden your one foot is going to reach out and trip you, and then you're gonna stumble. You're like, what is going on with my body? It hates me. But God has designed our bodies and all the parts of it, both that you can physically see outward and inward. It is designed to keep you healthy. And Paul used that image to reinforce church and the people of church. And he wanted to use that illustration to point out no one person of church is more important than the others. Your hand is no more important than your foot or your nose or your heart or your liver or your skin. It's all important. They all have important roles for that one goal. And yet it can be easy to feel as if everyone should be in full-time ministry. If you really want to be the hardcore Christian, then you just need to quit your job and become a full-time minister. Or back in the day, it used to be the missionaries were the super Christians because they had the courage to go somewhere scary. But that's not the teachings of Paul. That's not Jesus' teachings as far as who's more important than the other. When Christians make up the professional workplace in our communities, when they make up the firefighters, the teachers, the accountants, the coordinators, the restaurateurs, the business owners, that provides the church, the people of Jesus, to show love to people in their communities who may not know Jesus, or what they understand of Jesus is so slanted and twisted from the past. In the same way that we ought to view one another as members of the body of Christ, one body, many members, what if we looked at our communities in a similar fashion? There are so many different people, and each person is doing a drastically different activity. But what if, as a community, we were one community? The community is one specific location with many residents. If we want our community to be healthy, like we want our physical body to be healthy, then we have to have the mindset of together, one another. Paul, when he writes to the church, he loves to use those two words, one another. Love one another, honor one another, weep with one another, glorify with one another. Together, rather than alone. This together mindset might look like sending food to your teachers, your student's teacher and fellow staff members. Maybe it means you gather with your neighbors and you have a neighborhood cleanup day. It's what's helping one body with many members. Maybe it means donating some old books to your local library. And I would say you might want to call and ask first if you can do that, because they may not want your dirty books. We have a group here at Gilead Friends. They take up a collection and they help pay down school lunch debt. That was one of the ideas they had early in this year, and they've continued doing that because they realize this is our community, and we can serve and love on one another, and this is a very practical, very real need that they can meet. It's ideas like that. For a moment, I want you to look at just one specific phrase that Paul used when he wrote to these Christians in Rome, as he's talking about their brothers and sisters, their community, belonging to one body. Look at what he says. He says, "So in Christ, we, though many, form one body," and look at this, "and each member belongs to all the others." If we were to just let that marinate in your mind for just a moment, we belong to all the others, to one another. It means we cannot work independently effectively. that may be the mindset of Americanism, you know, independence, and I'm doing this alone, I'm going to be a trailblazer. But for Paul, when he's talking of the church community, when he's talking about your brothers and sisters, he's saying you belong to each other. We benefit from the contribution of every other member as well. And you think about the school, when teachers can collaborate, when teachers, maybe they're dealing with a troubled student, and they're like, yeah, I had this person last year. What worked? How can we make this connection when teachers and staff can collaborate and work together? It's very similar to church people. Oh, when you're suffering at something, and you take that risk and you share where you're struggling, and all of a sudden someone else is like, I know exactly what you're going through, or I have no idea what you're going through, but I'm going to be with you in this in whatever way you need. We benefit from the contribution of every other member as well. But there's a catch to all of this membering, one anothering, and body talk. There's a catch to all this. It's like a hiccup. It's like a snag that you get in your shirt. And that catch is sin that infects every person. And I would be willing to say specifically the biggest snag, the biggest hiccup in community life, whether it's school, whether it's church, whether it's county, is unforgiveness. When people, when the body of Christ, when a school, when a community harbors unforgiveness, it's like literally your foot reaches out and trips you and makes the body of Christ stumble. Unforgiveness can creep into a church body, into a school body, into a community, and it can wreak havoc for decades because there are grudges that are held. There is bitterness. There is remembrance, and there is fantasies and thoughts of revenge and how could they do this? How could they have said that? I can't wait to get back. It can be very subtle, this unforgiveness that is not dealt with. But let's sit and fester. But the damage done can be detrimental to a body, to a community. So it's just like going to a doctor and having them identify the issue. And here's what's wrong. When you have someone say it's unforgiveness. There's bitterness in you. There's a grudge. There's some kind of a thing that's festering in you because you haven't sincerely released it. So is there unforgiveness within you today, this moment? Have you identified a place, whether anywhere within your community, with home life, work, school, church, community, state, country, where you are harboring unforgiveness toward a situation or a person or a group of people? Since we're in church, maybe it's church related. Is there hurt, resentment, offense that is, quite honestly, decades old from people who are no longer attending? Gilead Friends, or if you're watching online, a church that you attended. Do you identify, and the way that you can identify is whenever that person's name comes up or you picture that, you get this uneasiness about you. You get this anger, there's unforgiveness there. Are you holding on to grudges against a pastor or an elder or a teacher or someone who was in leadership at the time, decades ago, years ago, that you just haven't released because you just like to be angry at them? And maybe you don't say, I like being angry at them, but there's some enjoyment
at replaying the hurt that took place so that you feel justified in your anger, in your bitterness? Are you holding on to some view of a school that no longer exists except for in your imagination from the past? Because Gilead Christian School does not look like what it looked like 40 years ago. Some of you might be. Maybe you're thinking of your home. Maybe there's this person that hurt you, that betrayed you in your family. And man, you just can't seem to let go of that hurt because, in honesty, it hurt and it was wrong. And maybe in the back of your mind you're thinking, God, why haven't you taken care of this person yet? As your pastor this morning, I am calling on you to release that unforgiveness, that bitterness that you may be holding on to. I can't jump into your consciousness, but you know. The Spirit of God is moving within you right now. If there is unforgiveness, it has been brought to light right now. You're thinking about it. I'm calling on you to release that unforgiveness. I'm calling on you to release that grudge, that bitterness into the capable hands of Almighty God. And I'm calling on you to extend forgiveness, which means you release it. It no longer dictates how you think, how you feel, how you treat others. It's like a prison. It's so much like you've opened up the prison gates and said, God, I forgive the name of that person or that situation or that group of people from that circumstance. And it's also a releasing of prison for yourself, because unforgiveness puts you in prison in your own mind and holds you captive. And so I'm calling on you as your pastor to release it, extend forgiveness to that person right now in your heart, in your mind. And also, I'm calling on you to ask God to forgive you for holding on to that bitterness. Do it right now. God, for those things that we hold on to, whether it's personal, whether it's group related in our church, in our school, in our state, in our government, in our country. Father, forgive us for all the things that we have said against one another, that we have said dehumanizing others, that has no place in the kingdom of God, in a child of God, in their mouths, in their minds. Father, forgive us for holding on for so long. Let's widen our community circle a little bit. If you took an inventory of your behavior towards people, your community, have you loved the people with a Christ-like love, both in person and online? Or if you were to go back and look at some of the things that you post and some of the things that you've said, would you find that incredibly rude? And not at all Christ-like at all. Things that don't reflect the life of Jesus or his kingdom. And if you recognize that in your own life, then I join with me in asking for forgiveness for that. Like the people in exile in Babylon that we looked at last week, churches should be praying for their communities. That should be our focus. Working to seek its peace. The people of Israel, the ancient Israelites, they were called by God while they were living in Babylon, seek peace in Babylon. And so that would be a challenge for us living in these crazy times of 2020 when division is everywhere. It is followers of Jesus, seek, actively seek the peace of your community. That is our role as followers of Jesus in Morrow County, in the state of Ohio, in the United States of America. And no one person is more important in that role than anyone else. because we all belong to each other. A couple illustrations that I want to share with you as we wrap up here. In eighth grade, let's see, let me take you back into my middle school year. Seventh grade, I played football, and I was an offensive end. And I tell you this, not bragging, but I scored the one of two touchdowns my team scored the entire season. It wasn't good. And so I was like, this is awful. And so eighth grade, I'm not playing football, no way. So I'm going to do something less demoralizing. And I ran track in eighth grade. And I was a sprinter. I did the 100, the 200, the 4x1, the 4x2 relay races. And, you know, I don't think I really won anything. I'm pretty good. But, and I was looking because I don't think they're here today. But on my relay team was, his family comes here, Josh Irwin. He was the anchor. So we had two guys that ran before us. We had the first guy who took off, and then somebody who got the baton the second, and then I was third, and I grabbed the baton for the third leg, and then I would run around the track at Mount Gilead, and I would hand off to Josh Irwin, and he would take us home. Now, Josh always finished the race. He was always the one who took the baton over the finish line. Do you think me or the other two guys grew bitter? Like, man, when's it my turn to run across the finish line? No, we never had that. Why? Well, number one, because Josh was amazingly fast. But two, because we realized I was part of that. I was part of that. I remember there was one specific race where we got behind early on. And then you could watch. As you watched around the track, you watched our teammates close the gap. And I remember when it was my turn to catch the baton, and I was running, and I saw this guy, and I was like, I could smell him, man. And so I was running as fast as I could. And by the time I got to Josh, man, we were neck and neck. And I handed it off to Josh, and he took it. And, man, he blitzed past him, and we won. And we were so excited. Why? Because we did it together as a team. The church gets excited when we do it together as a team, when we show our community who Jesus is. We ran together, the four of us. It was a group effort. You and I, like a relay team, we must rely on one another to seek the peace of our community. And it's not even so much, if we're talking relay races, it's not even just those who are part of Gilead Friends, Gilead Christian School, the other churches around this county doing it now. We're talking relay races that have been decades in the making. Those who have come before us have handed the baton to us and say, continue seeking the peace in your county, in your community. Those who have gone before us. One last illustration, and then I'll wrap it up. I posted on Facebook a couple days ago asking people to share their favorite ingredients when they bake cookies or cake. And would you believe it? So many people just love chocolate. That was like their favorite ingredients. I just put the chocolate in. Others had like butter. I had one guy say that he liked to put rum in his baking. And I was like, I hope that's like a rum cake. It's just for flavor, not judging. Number of different things to post, but think about when you bake a cake, or when you bake cookies, you are required to use many different ingredients, right? If you don't use certain ingredients, it doesn't turn out well. It doesn't taste well. Now, if you take the individual ingredients by themselves, they're not so good, with the exception of maybe sugar. And so some of you would be like, I'm the sugar. I'm the sugar, and you just run with that. Let's forget the sugar and the chocolate chips, but we're talking like the flour. Does anyone like to just grab a spoonful of flour and shove it in your mouth? Mmm, that's wonderful. Or baking soda. Yeast. Raw eggs. How about baking chocolate? We're not talking the milk chocolate. We're talking the nasty baking chocolate that's just a joke on humanity. What do you call this chocolate? It's not chocolate.
It's still the chocolate.
It is. It's cocoa. I get it. But when you mix all of those ingredients, that on their own you wouldn't bat an eye, but you mix those things together with a goal in mind. That goal is this amazing cake, amazing cookies. By the way, my wife made a chocolate cake yesterday out of zucchini. It was amazing. It is amazing. I mean, it's still there. When you mix all of these things in with one goal in mind, it tastes like goodness, doesn't it? Are you tasting, are you imagining a chocolate cake right now? Are you imagining those warm chocolate chip cookies? Maybe you're really weird and you don't like chocolate, so peanut butter cookies for the rest of you. But can you taste it? Can you smell it? When you go to someone's house who's been baking and you smell it and people come around like, what have you been baking? It smells amazing. And you're like, yeah, well, I used baking soda and flour and cinnamon. No, you show them the cake. When we work together as a body of Christ, church, school, brothers and sisters, gathering together, working together, like baking, you and I, with the help of the Spirit, we create something that people are drawn to. And they're like, what is that smell? What is that goodness? But I can't help but, what is it? Tell me more. I want to invite our team back up as we get ready to sing this song again. But I wanted to take a moment to talk just a little bit about Gilead Christian School. Wondering, you know, why do we have a school? Why do we have early childhood education and all of that here at this facility? Well, this year, school started, what, September 8th? And the kids were back. And there's one student in the school, in the junior high and high school. His family had left the school, gone to a different school, and then they came back, right, this year. And this student is overheard saying, I'm so glad I'm back, because it's so nice to get through homeroom without hearing 10 swear words every morning. I remember what it was like to not want to be here. Quote unquote, this is his words, quote unquote, I was so dumb. Now that's not to say anything against the public schools around Maurer County, whose teachers are doing a phenomenal job. But I'm telling you why we have our teachers here. Why we have preschool all the way through 12th grade. This is why. So that parents can bring their kids knowing your kids are going to hear about Jesus every single day. It's not just going to be coming out of a school book. Your kids, your students are going to hear about Jesus from the very lives of the teachers who are instructing them. They're going to be a walking, living testimony that is impacting the boys and girls from preschool all the way through 12th grade and as they graduate. That is why Gilead Friends Church has Gilead Christian School here. Now, what I want to do, as we sing, I want to invite anyone who is here, who is a teacher, staff of Gilead Christian School, will you please stand? You're not going to come up front. I know that's kind of weird, but could you just stand right now where you are so that we can acknowledge you? Teachers, aides, staff, please rise where you are. Thank you so much. Now, the rest of you, will you please stand? And we're going to sing this song, this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. It's a way of dismissing our church, but it's going to be specifically for today. We are saying this to our staff, our teachers, our workers of Gilead Christian School. We're just going to sing the verse, and then we're going to end it with the amen. So can we grab that lyrics back up there, Joe? The blessings to you.
upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Hey, let's sing that again.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace.
And all the people said,
Amen.
Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for those in our community that we're thinking of, for our staff and teachers and aides at Gilley Christian School. Father, we thank you for their service, for the way that they pour themselves into their work with the students. Father, would you grant them peace? Would you grant them rest? God, would you grant them creativity and safety and protection this year? Father, for our church family, for those we call our brothers and sisters in Christ, God, we pray for their peace and their prosperity. Father, for those of us here today who have struggled and wrestled with unforgiveness, then you've brought to mind, you've brought it into our minds as we think about it. Father, we surrender that to you today. We don't want to deal with it. We don't want to struggle with it. We don't want to hurt from it. Father, would you help us release that to you? In our hearts, in our minds, in the very core of who we are, may we understand it's not ours to hold on to anymore. By the blood of Christ, we have been forgiven of this. They have been forgiven of that. Father, as you've called us, as you have forgiven us, so we, your children, ought to forgive one another. Father, would you fill that space within us with your love, with your presence, with your joy? Would you give us ideas and creativity of how to spread your word, your light into our communities, with our homes, our spouses, our family members, our roommates, our workplace, our school, where we go to the grocery store, where we travel. Father, bring your presence. May it be felt in the hospital rooms, in the halls of government, to the day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. It's in his name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Go in his presence, go in his peace, go in his forgiveness, and share that with those around you. Please love on our teachers if you get a chance to talk with them as you go. We'll see you next Sunday.